You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever Xbox E3 2015 press conference, post conference, kind of funny games cast.
Damn,
all of the above.
That well was done. Good. You Thank did you. It really well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Now we're live. Shirt. We're live right now on Twitch to all you beautiful people.
Hello.
You guys are just watching home later on VOD. Thank you so much. As always, I'm Tim Geddes. I'm joined by the coolest dudes in video games, Colin Moriarty and Greg Miller.
Hi.
Hello.
And to my right, or I guess your left, we got. My boy Alfredo.
It's still,
Diaz.
You're right. So even though it's there left, it's still
you're right. Yeah. So, man, how excited are you guys? All right. Good. Let's before we get into this, let's do a little rundown of everything that just happened. Right. We got Halo 5 Guardians. We got some single player stuff. We saw the multiplayer Warzone mode. We got a new game called ReCore. Keiji Inafune's new game from a little help from the Metroid Prime creators.
Yeah, Armature.
Xbox exclusive. All right, we got announcement of Xbox 360 backwards compatibility.
That was big.
A new Xbox Elite wireless controller that's essentially going to put all third-party controllers out of business.
Bye-bye, Scuff.
Todd Howard came out, Fallout 4, talked a little bit more about it. We got a new single-player demo showing off the world, all this stuff. Announced that you can play mods from PC on the Xbox One.
Yeah, that's weird and big.
Weird, but a very big deal. If you buy Fallout 4, you get Xbox or you get Fallout 3 for free. EA Talk, Peter Moore came out, talked a little bit about EA Access, including Titanfall this week, Dragon Age Inquisition coming later. Xbox Gold Live members get it free this week if you want a demo of that, you want to check it out, see if it's for you. Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 2 announced. There was a trailer. There was a little Top Gun music. It was
there was a lot of Top Gun music.
There was a lot.
A lot of Top Gun music.
Yes, yes, yes. We got Forza 6, September 15th. Dark Souls 3, early 2016. Not an exclusive.
Half a point for me.
Hmm. The Division. We saw a little bit more of that. Yeah. Again, Alfredo, I don't think, blinked that entire time.
No.
Rainbow Six Siege comes free with Vegas 1 and 2. Gigantic Xbox One exclusive. It's another one of those games that looks like every other game. ID at Xbox, indie montage. We saw a bunch of stuff. There's a game called Cuphead. Oh, my God.
It's rare that I have a Greg was right. I've been on Cuphead's jock since I saw the first trailer forever ago.
Whew, that thing looks good.
It looks excellent.
There's a whole bunch of games. There was some Western game that looked awesome. Below, obviously, amazing. Then Steve Gaynor came out, talked about Tacoma.
And let's talk about that.
On Xbox One and PC.
Steve Gaynor, after everything I've done, I made Gone Home, and this is how you're going to repay me. I don't even get trophies in Gone Home, and now I'm going to play the other goddamn Tacoma game. Not getting trophies in that, too.
You have to get achievements in it.
Whole bunch more indie games.
I don't think you made Gone Home, though.
We got Beyond Eyes. We got this. Then we got Xbox Game Preview they talked about. It's like Steam Early Access. We know all about that stuff. Brought up DayZ, which led to Dean Hall coming out, announcing his new game, Ion, exclusive to the Xbox and PC. We got a really badass Rise of the Tomb Raider demo.
Right? That was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like, I know you're trying to get through this quickly, but I want to say that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Ice Climbers reboot, essentially, is what it was. And it was fucking great. November 10th is when that guy's coming out. Then Rare Replay. It's pretty much Rare Collection. 30 games, $30, only on Xbox One, August 4th.
10K gamer score, though?
Oh, man.
You gonna get all those Chivos?
Hell no, I'm not.
New exclusive Rare game. It's a pirate game called Sea of Thieves.
Yar.
It looked kind of cool. I was into that. Fable Legends this holiday. Then they talked about this whole Valve VR thing. They got a whole bunch of VR stuff coming. Oculus partnership they mentioned. And then they went a little more in detail on the Microsoft HoloLens. Did some Minecraft integration that was awesome.
Yeah.
Super crazy. Yeah. So it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't want to hear about, oh, wait, this is fucking cool.
Yeah, I tweeted that this is the we are living in the beginning of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
When he's just sitting there and he's just staring at it like a weirdo.
Gears of War Ultimate Edition, August 25th. It's the first game. We all knew about that. Beta out later today. So get excited about that. And then, Gears 4. There's no of war. It's just Gears 4.
Gears 4.
They're pulling a Fast and Furious.
Gears!
You couldn't see much.
Yeah, it was very dark, but it was pretty.
It looked, yeah.
Yeah.
It sets Holiday the stage for War 5.
So there you go, guys. That was it. What are your thoughts?
They did a really nice job.
Yeah.
What really continues to resonate with me, because Greg and I are, unapologetically, more PlayStation-centric than anything else, is that they just keep bringing out exclusives over and over and again. And as Sony's studios lay largely dormant, and I don't mean literally dormant, I mean we just don't know what the fuck they're doing.
They're sleeping giants.
They look like the tables are kind of turning in the sense that Xbox has all of these exclusives. And remember, as Phil Spencer said at the end, and as we said in our pre-show, three massive exclusive games for Xbox One weren't even at the show. Crackdown, Quantum Break, and what's the Dragon game?
Scalebound.
Scalebound, yeah. So that's impressive to me that they have this catalog of games, can keep rolling out games. I mean, they have so many games, they put something like Inafune's exclusive at the top.
Yeah.
You know? So I was very impressed. I'm always kind of impressed with Xbox's, Xbox's approach at their press conferences. Sony, we'll see what they can do and the game they bring because, obviously they're going to go last tonight and they're kind of falling behind in the exclusive category pretty significantly.
They're falling behind in a lot of the announcement categories, it feels like, right? The fact that they come out and they're like, everything's backwards compatible now. I liked how they presented that, right? Where Phil's like, we didn't know if we'd be able to do it, but we figured out a way to do it. Here's how we're going to do it. Yeah. And then, they had a smattering of games. And, there were a lot of people during the indie presentation saying, Indie Box, making fun of Indie Station, which was PlayStation's name for so long. Now it is getting to be not a level playing field, but it's getting there. Yeah. But there was a smattering where there was, some things I was really into, some things I wasn't. But, the next announcement was always super exciting of what's going to come.
I think that's the thing, is, this was a damn good press conference.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it was entertaining for everybody. And even if you weren't in love with every single thing, it all happened so fast. They didn't focus on one thing for too long. You hate it when there's those demos that last
the
30
EA part
minutes.
Was quick.
EA part, they came in, they're like, here it is, bye.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you guys. They're finally getting it, and I love that. This was for everyone.
Biggest moment, undeniably, when Henry Ford III came out.
That was weird.
I was like, thank God I now know there's a Henry Ford III.
Yeah, what was so weird for me with Henry Ford III and just that whole thing is I always think about these guys that, or women that come to these shows and are there for like 10 seconds. Henry Ford III had to get into a plane in Detroit, come to Los Angeles, be on the stage
and
for 15 seconds.
Xbox is doing a lot of cool things with video games, and Ford's happy to be a part of it.
And then they have to go. Now, I see some people in the comments saying that their conference was terrible or that they didn't like the conference.
You're fucking
crazy. I honestly, we might have watched a different conference than you guys if you really feel that way, because I was impressed with it. It's not that everything was good. It's not that everything was a hit. I don't care about, this Fable MMO and all these kinds of things. I actually think Rare is all but dead with the announcement of that game. I have no idea what the fuck that was. Mm-hmm. So
it's their most ambitious game ever, Colin.
So there are certain things that don't look interesting. Gears looks awesome. ReCore, anything that Inafune touches going to turn to gold. Right?
Well,
we know that.
So ReCore, Colin, how'd that make you feel?
It made me feel great. I mean, Armature, is a studio that is made up of old, retro guys. And them, getting together with Inafune is pretty awesome and an unusual kind of mixture. Concept is Inafune's kind of production house in Japan, and then they work with a bunch of different developers, like Inicreates, for instance, with Mighty No. 9, or with, Japan Studio for Soul Sacrifice. And now they're working with Armature for this game, ReCore, and I think it looks pretty cool. What's funny to me about it is that no matter how much Inafune tries, he just cannot get away from robots. He can only, get away from robots for a little bit, and then he has to go back.
He's the real robot master.
And get back to robots. So I thought that was pretty funny. Xbox One exclusive, unusual. I think that's a huge boon for Microsoft to get someone like Inafune, who definitely has more Japanese bonafides, and that would suggest that he is be a more PlayStation-centric kind of person. Obviously, Mighty No. 9 is very agnostic in terms of platforms, but Soul Sacrifice certainly wasn't, so it was pretty cool to see that. I really do believe that the biggest announcement was the backwards compatibility.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can't overlook... I took some notes because you can't really overlook, first of all, how they took shots directly at Sony, which is unusual for Microsoft to do, and that they're basically saying this is important. As Sony kind of isolates PS1 classics to Vita and PSP and PS3, no PS2 classics on Vita, but you can play them on PS3, but you can't play them on PS4. If you want to use PlayStation Now, you got to pay for it. Even if you own Catherine or something like that and you want to stream it, you have to pay $9.99 a month. Right. They're like, fuck all of that.
Put the disc in and you own it, and your digital games are already going to start popping up in your library.
And what it suggests to me is that, Sony is not going to be ready for this. Sony is all in. They bought Gaikai for $400 million. They're going to be streaming. But I think that they might have taken the losing path, and now they're going to eat it on that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm curious if, they figured out, and they said it very openly in the Microsoft conference, we didn't know if we can do this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if Sony feels the same way, but now I feel it's imperative for Sony to figure out how to do it. Because opening up the PS3 library and the PS1 classics and the PS2 classics and all these things, PSP minis, whatever it is, on PlayStation 4 is important.
Yeah.
And if people own those games already, they're doing it with their first-party games like Journey or Flower, but they're not doing it with everything. And it sucks that you have to buy those games again. And they, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say, we won't charge you to play the games you already own was the exact quote. That was a direct shot at Sony.
Shot
at
Talk
Sony,
shit, yeah, yeah. Get shot.
So here's the question, though. If Sony goes and flips the switch and is like, okay, sorry, we'll figure this out or whatever, are they going to be doing the same thing we faulted Microsoft for? Remember how we were like, when Microsoft backtracked on everything, they had no vision, this, that, and the other. If they come out and be like, all right, PlayStation Now, sorry, that wasn't exactly what it needed to be. Like, we're going to can that and give you backwards compatibility. Are we going to be saying the same thing about Sony, that they didn't believe in this?
Sure. I mean, it's an interesting point. I'm curious what these guys think of it. But I think that when they backed up on Kinect and they backed up on their DRM and all that kind of stuff, you have to kind of separate into two things. Was it the right decision for the product? And was it the right decision to get it to be backtracking on its own?
Sure.
In other words, it was the right move for Microsoft to do that, probably commercially, even though I was curious about how it was all going to turn out for them if they stuck it to that road. So it's an interesting question. I don't think Sony really can go back on it, at least immediately, because they made such a huge capital investment in PlayStation Now, even though it doesn't seem like anyone really cares about it.
Right.
And it you know, streaming is obviously always going to have an inherent issue in terms of latency, no matter how fast or how good your connection is. So this is an awesome solution, and that's what it is. It's a solution. You put your disc in, you download the game from Xbox Live. Obviously, that, you know, they're gonna have 100 games by holiday. They're gonna roll them out slowly. Not everything's gonna be available, but
I think the steps necessary. I think that's very important. Like, for me, you're right. Like, they're not just gonna backtrack on Now. Like, I'd be shocked if they did that. I would love it, though, because I don't really care, like, for the shit they'd get for backtracking. As a consumer, that's what I want. I want to just be able to play my old games whenever I want, however I want. My Vita, on my PS3, wherever the hell. And it's just like, it's frustrating that I can't do that.
Wherever the hell I am.
Well, yeah. I signed up for PS Now and I was playing Uncharted, and Uncharted 1 was almost unbearable because
really?
There was, like, major dead zones and, like, a little bit of, like, latency and lag and stuff like that.
Real quick, Alfred, I'm sorry. I know you have a very successful Twitch stream of your own.
Nope.
Here, if you're going to say that, you have to say, but Uncharted was unbearable.
Thank you, Greg, for that.
No problem. I'm letting everybody know.
Thank you so much for that, Greg. Sony has a huge problem, and it's that none of their devices speak to each other properly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That should be like their gemstone, right? That you have this PlayStation ecosystem where everything talks and communicates. And Microsoft's coming for that. You know what I mean?
With the Windows 10. And exactly. Like, that's the thing is, like, you know, Colin predicted that they were going to talk about Windows 10. They mentioned a lot. Kept saying it, but, like, they didn't really kind of go into too much of the details and stuff. But I don't even think it was necessary. Just the one thing I loved about this press conference was almost every 5 minutes you heard Xbox One world premiere exclusive.
And I know, it's like, Jesus Christ.
It was cheesy, but I think that's important.
They got to drive that point home.
Yeah, I feel like they did drive it home, and it was almost a joke, but I feel that's a good thing that they did to make sure that everybody knows, like, we got a lot of fucking exclusives. You know, this is what Alfredo wanted.
No, that's what I wanted. And they also, I just think overall it was well-rounded, right? Like, you had indie games, you had the backwards compatibility, you even had, like, the Xbox kind of, like, Steam Early Access type stuff, too, which I think is going to be
really cool. Initiatives they announced on top of cool games.
And then, of course, they catered towards the hardcore audience, right? We had our Halo, we had Gears. There was an Elite controller, which
that was out of left field.
Awesome!
You are the most Elite player I know. Did that get you going?
I was way too excited. Yeah, no, I mean, it's you guys because it's way too expensive to buy, like, something like a scarf. It's like $200-$300 to, like, customize. It's third party, but something like this, it's like once it gets in people's hands, they'll understand, like, why it's nice to have extra, like, remappable buttons.
Sure.
And I'll have to take my fingers off, like, the analog stick, etc.
The reason I was saying this, I have a couple things to say. First of all, about the exclusives, obviously they have to make it clear, and it's harder for them to make it clear with their exclusives because they've had a more choppy history with their exclusives in terms of them eventually coming over or being on PC. Sony's exclusives are more obvious because they own these studios and you know they're known quantities. Naughty Dog games are not going to be available on Xbox.
Right, that's obvious.
Yeah. But the one thing that really bothered me with the exclusive announcements was the shit that they keep doing with Tomb Raider. They will not speak plainly about that game. You know, they say something like exclusive, Xbox One, holiday. And then it's like, what does that mean? You know, like, there's been a year of just circular talking about if this game is exclusive or not. Clearly, it isn't. So just stop saying that. You know what I mean? That's the one thing where I want them to speak a little more plainly about what they're doing. That's the kind of thing that's really pissing me off with that in particular. A lot of people are saying, you know, that they're shocked that games like Titanfall 2 weren't there or whatever. Titanfall 2 is obviously not ready and anywhere near ready, right. of course. And I think Respawn and EA have significant buyer's remorse with putting that on Xbox One exclusively or an Xbox exclusively in addition to PC. So that mm-hmm. seems like something that would be at EA's conference maybe next year.
Sure.
So I'm not super surprised about that. But to your guys' point, I mean, they did announce games that were not exclusives. Garden Warfare 2 is not exclusive. Mm-hmm. Dark Souls 3 is not exclusive.
Interestingly,
Rainbow Six, The Division, obviously yeah. they announced those, but those are, you know, not exclusive. So they showed some third party.
A lot of people were talking after I was tweeting about the Fallout thing that Todd Howard and Xbox at no point said that was an exclusive feature. The fact that PC mods will be there. You know what I mean? Maybe there is something similar at PlayStation 4. Maybe it's put in a press release, whatever. But there are they did make a big deal of being world premiere, Xbox exclusive, yeah, ball, console exclusive. Yeah, yeah. And they didn't say that here on certain things.
Something I thought was crazy interesting, no Call of Duty.
Right?
Yeah,
it just felt, it felt wrong.
That
but
tells
in a good
you what's
going
to happen. It's refreshing. You know?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Like, that tells you who's coming to Sony. Open it.
Yeah,
Ubisoft.
It's almost like, I don't want to say Call of Duty is waning because it's clearly not waning, but I think that it's plateauing.
But I think it's a good sign in a lot of ways. You know, like the fact that like they didn't open it with Call of Duty, like that does show that like that isn't so much the focus anymore. And the fact that we got Gears and Halo in the same year, like that's interesting.
Good.
Like we're we're in a really cool place. The Division and Rainbow Six, like as a shooter guy, what of those are you most interested in, and or is there any that you're not interested in playing?
I mean, I just love Ubisoft like shooters in general, like Tom Clancy shooters. So I'm excited for The Division for sure. Like that's, I feel like that's a game that has a lot of depth.
That trailer
was
great.
I feel like it could be either a really good Ubisoft game or a really bad one. So I want to see more and learn more about it. I mean, with the Rainbow, they just showed a bunch of like footage that you got to play in the alpha. So I'm assuming during their actual press conference, that's where we get to see more Rainbow in depth. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for this stuff, but yeah, I want to see more of it.
Yeah, my thing with The Division continues to be I want to play it by myself. That game begs to be played by yourself, and it's an eerie setting. It's a brilliant setting. New York City in perpetual holiday mode or whatever, Black Friday. Yeah. It's like that game is going to be inherently scarier and weirder by playing by yourself, and so I hope that they give you a way out, but it's just I'm losing hope. You know, that
I really, that's the thing is I'd love for it to be a Freedom Wars kind of situation where I can run off and do stuff alone and then come up and team up with you when we want to team up. But it does feel like a game that's going to be, hey, play with everybody.
Now, here's the big thing I was curious about what you guys thought about. And this was super unfortunate for Crystal. Tomb Raider's release date is the same day as Fallout 4. And I tweeted out, I'm like, keep running, Laura, right into 2016. because your game's going to get buried. I don't care how good it is, and it does look good.
Yeah, it looks awesome. That gameplay looked awesome.
But you can't release a game on November 10th. You have a death wish if you release your game on November 10th.
That game looked so stressful, man. Like, every single thing in it, it's just like, holy shit, just bad thing after
bad. That's how those games work.
Yeah, exactly.
They
but
just put her through a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
She's a tough lady with a short haircut
climbing,
now.
Climbing community.
So you have to
stuff here.
You have to assume that game's gonna get delayed. I can't. Now the weird thing
swallow
is that
your pride.
The weird thing is that they probably didn't know the release schedule for Bethesda until maybe a few weeks ago. Obviously, there's a lot of secrets and all kind of stuff. But I wonder if they saw that and they still doubled down. They had a chance to change it.
Yeah.
And so that was making me wonder. Maybe they're gonna stick with it. The game might be done. I mean, the game will probably be ready to go. Mm. No, I mean, obviously it'll go gold in October or whatever. But is it smart to release the game in November? Now, you don't really need it. You have Forza, you have Halo, and then you'll have Tomb Raider early next year.
But then you're up against Uncharted. You know what I mean? You got to imagine where their head's at,
right?
Like, I think they're really, and the best thing would be to push it forward. Try to get it out in October, right? Try to push it up a couple weeks.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's just everything's trending towards open world RPGs and the commercial viability of open world RPGs. As we talked about yesterday in the Bethesda Post show, Fallout 3 did about $4.5 million, $5 million, something like that in the first 2 months of on the market in 2008. Mm-hmm. But Witcher 3, which was an unknown quantity from CD Projekt, which is not a well-known studio that's never really released a game like Witcher 3 in terms of its scope and its depth and its beauty and its polish, sold 4 million copies in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So people that still think that Fallout 4 isn't going to sell extraordinarily well and it's going to kill everything around it, I think are being a little bit delusional. Unless you're Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed, I'd get the hell out of November.
Okay, so we're talking a little about all the blockbuster games and stuff like that. So we saw a lot of the ID at Xbox shit. So what we're going to talk about here, we have a special guest, Alfredo. We're going to switch you out for a bit.
And let him come. Mm-hmm. The seat's warm. Enjoy.
Oh, Nathan Velik, Happy Games.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
He totally farted in this chair.
He did.
Gross.
It was a good fart, though. If I know Alfredo farts, they're good farts.
I don't understand what that means. If you know Alfredo,
who better to talk about Xbox
indie games than the guy whose game had 2.5 seconds in that.
Oh, yeah. Those 2.5 seconds sold me, man.
You were sold on Below based on that. Oh, Up until then, I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, it looks kind of boring.
Game looks like a dumb Zelda. And then I was like, wait, it looks like a great Zelda. What is going on? What is going on? Is the Xbox, are they committed now to indie developers? Are they trying to catch up?
I don't know. I can only speak from my experience.
Yeah.
And our experience has been like, they came to us way before Xbox One even was a thing.
Really?
So we've had a great relationship with them. We were Time Force was the second Xbox One ID at Xbox game, I think.
Oh, wow.
On the whole platform. So we've been hammering away on Below for quite a while now. Excited to show it for the first time in a long time here. But holy cow, like just seeing more Tacoma. Ashen, which is a game that probably will get overshadowed pretty significantly by the rest of the independent games. Aurora 44, a team nobody really has probably heard about, but I've seen a bunch of stuff from Ashen. It's going to be really, really interesting. Super cool art style. Super.
Yeah, the no face thing was interesting, too. Yeah. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that.
I think it's going to be really, really cool. And Cuphead.
Oh my God.
And those dudes, I'm calling them out on camera. Those dudes are from Toronto, and I have never met them.
No way, really?
What's going on in Toronto with all of the awesome indie games coming out of that
drugs.
City?
It's all drugs.
It's drugs and maple syrup.
Funny story about maple syrup.
Lay it on me.
Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, the Super Brothers and Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery is a team of two, and they now live out in the woods, and their family makes the best maple syrup in all of Canada.
What's the brand?
That's quite the statement.
They live in a town called Baldwin Mills, and the family is Baldwin's. And they make the maple syrup that all of the like top notch, like all the people who like inspect maple syrup for quality, they go to them to get it. I got two bottles of it for my wedding present, and it was like the best wedding present of all time. I'm Canadian. Hello.
That is probably the most Canadian wedding present one could possibly get.
Is that a hockey stick? Yeah.
I have never played hockey in my life. So.
But you love it.
I have to balance
still
it
love
up.
It. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I like playing it on Genesis.
Mm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
Yeah, Cuphead, though. Oh my God. So yeah. I've never even heard of this game. I don't know why you haven't told me about this.
Back when we were at IGN, they released a trailer, and I immediately hit them up. I'm like, we need to get you on Up at Noon. And they're like, we're in Canada and have no money to fly. And I'm like, I have no money to fly you here either. So one day, now they're a big deal, and no one will ever, they'll never talk to me again.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think, and it's a really interesting, like, everybody always wants to talk about the art style because it's just, like, in your face, amazing. Yeah. Like, it's so special. They're not, like, this is, I think, their first game ever.
Wow.
But I think the other side of it is there's a really interesting game in there, too. Like, it's not, it's kind of a, like, side-scrolling shooter platformer boss rush.
I mean, they mentioned 16-bit, and that, it instantly brought me back to, like, a bunch of different games that I love from that generation.
I think it's going to be super gamey and super beautiful at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff that I'm super jazzed about. And Tacoma, I mean, nobody's going to, like, bat an eye to purchase that game.
No,
I think it's just going to be like one of those auto buys.
I'm going to have to buy it twice now. Thanks, Steve.
You bought it a billion times back in the day to force people to play it.
I know, that's true.
What a great game, though. What an extraordinary game. We both had palpable disappointment, though. We looked at each other when they announced it because I was like, I'm like, we just played more on PlayStation 4, so I was like, we can't get the trophies now.
Yeah.
Boot up the Xbox One.
Keep holding out hope. Midnight City, I'll get that port out for Gone Home.
Sick burn.
Beyond Eyes. That one looked rad, too. You
absolutely
know what I mean? Like, when they talked about it, and like, you're a blind girl, I was like, is this the game that is the same as Perception that I read about? No, this is something different.
This is the third one.
Yeah. Colorful and beautiful. I was like, dang, this looks really good.
It definitely had that, like, unique look to it, which was interesting. The gameplay itself, like, I would like to get my hands on it and see, but it kind of reminded me of the levels that I don't love in 3D Mario games, where it's kind of like the ghost levels, where you're like, see what you're doing.
Kind of hoping that it goes more the, like, Unfinished Swan route of like exploration through revealing environment than that, but I don't know. We'll have to see when we get to play it. Hopefully, it's on the floor. Yeah. I would be really, really hopeful. Then like the game preview stuff.
Yeah,
for independent developers, I think it's a super. Well, I mean, for anybody. I mean, you're starting to see big developers do that kind of stuff nowadays too, and I think that's going to continue on console. But it's a really great opportunity for a team like, or for a game like The Long Dark or for DayZ to like continue doing exactly what they're doing, not have to change their entire development to get onto console. It's a really interesting thing, and I'm super excited to see it. And I think it's great to hear the way that it was introduced, which is like, we're going to take great pains to make sure that all the BS that has happened with the crappy games on early access doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, curated sounds amazing to me. free trials, like mandatory trials.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really cool, and it's really exciting.
I think all that stuff's really important to console gamers too, because you know on PC they're really kind of looking for that tailored experience where they are not tailored, but just like free for all, do whatever you want, really open and doing all that. With consoles, they want the tailored, like, just tell me what to like. Mm-hmm. Tell me what to try.
That's what I say all the time. Tim, tell me what to like.
I'm curious. You can give me a little insight into this, obviously, as a seasoned developer, because I was thinking about this
You forgot to air quotes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Seasoned developer. Because I was thinking about this, and I'm glad you're here, because with the Xbox game preview, I always thought about this. Is it having something like this in kind of an open beta form, or like kind of just iterating on it as it's available, is there a way that it's more stressful for developers because they have to worry about getting it out there in some sort of playable form? As opposed, I always think about that with Vertical Slices and Final Fantasy XV's demo, which they're updating. I'm like, why are you even doing that? Like, work on the game now. So how do you feel about that? I mean, is it all upside, do you
think? No, I mean, I think it's there's a huge upside in that you get to see and feel what the players actually care about in your game before you say that your game is done. And I think that's a massive advantage, and we've seen a lot of the good early access games take huge advantage of that. But at the same time, like having a release schedule where like people know that stuff is coming, updates are coming, like it's moving towards 1.0. Like, really, I mean, you got to give Clay a ton of credit. They're one of the only studios in the world that has done early access twice and made it to full release. And both of their games were flawless. I think it's extremely taxing for development. But I also think there's, like, when you're making a game, and again, this is just speaking for myself, but you're always trying to be like, what would the player do? What would the player think? What do they love? In this case, you can get to a point and just say, oh, okay, you guys just tell us. Like, we're not going to guess anymore. Mm.
So you're calling everybody who uses early access lazy.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, essentially. There's
your headline.
Word for word.
Gasp.
That's what he said.
Greg has a knack for boiling things down to their essence.
It's going to be really interesting to see it on console. Because, I mean, we're as developers, we're super trained to just like, oh, it's PC. You got to be your own quality control. You put out shit builds and people eat you alive.
Right.
Whereas on console, there is this history of like certification and kind of mandatory quality standards. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays in. And it's the least fun part of making video games by a long shot. So I'm hopeful that Microsoft's going to take that on notice as well. And maybe, you know, maybe think about what certification is for these games. Because I would love to see, you know, a small, tight-knit group of really great early access games that the really tight Xbox community, because they are really, like, Xbox Live, like, hardcores are, like, the tightest, most intensely passionate group of people that I've seen, and giving them a chance to actually, like, help define some games to, like, maybe, you know, I would love to see DayZ go differently on console than on PC.
Right,
because
but
maybe that's a pipe dream.
Now, speaking of DayZ, I want to know Colin's opinion on Ion. This is the Dean Hall game they came out. He said it's this, what, sim MMO that explores the expansion into space.
Yeah, I mean, MMO is a huge turnoff for me.
But space, being out into space and exploring space is a huge turn on for you.
Yeah, does that cancel out?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're like somewhere
here. It's hard to cancel out. It definitely intrigued me. I mean, that was a curious game. I wish that they showed a little bit more about it.
Right,
you know,
it was
a little vague. I mean, intentionally so, I think. I mean, the thing that still stuck out to me towards the end of the demo, other than the fact that Gears 4 looks really, really good, again, though, it's just like, what are they doing to Rare? Like, what is Rare doing? Like, I'm curious, like, what you guys think about what is Sea of Thieves, because it seems like every time Rare gets given a game to do or they come up with an idea, this kind of new version of Rare, it's not what people expect. I feel like there's a lot of disappointment. The game looks cool, it can be great, but I feel like they're not delivering the goods, like what people really want from them.
I don't even know what people want from them anymore, though.
Yeah, that was exactly
what
I was
Square? Gonna, they have such an identity crisis.
Yeah, I think they're at a point where I would love to see them just do a whole bunch of smaller stuff instead of trying to...
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they have to do the big stuff, but I like, if somebody was to ask me, what game do you want to see from Rare, I honestly, I don't know. I just want to see them make something like super weird again.
Sure.
Super off the wall, super... Like, because that was the stuff that I used to think, you know, as when I was playing their stuff earlier, I used to think, like, no one else is making this type of game.
Right, right, right.
And I still think they're doing that, but not in the way that we all have that, like, nostalgia tweak in our head.
Right.
I mean, when you look at that, like, the game they showed, what was it called?
Sea of Thieves?
Sea of Thieves. It's like, it looked cool, like, graphically and stuff, but it's like, it just looked like I've seen 10 trailers like that already at E3, where it's like, oh, people like MOBAs and people like Team Fortress 2, so let's try to do that again. Here's Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, I have little doubt.
Pirates are pretty cool, though.
Yeah, they are. I should clarify that. I have a little doubt that the game could be great. It looks, yeah, looks cool and stuff. I'm just saying, like, what? Yeah, but the question is, what is rare?
But is
now?
It? I honestly think a huge part of it is us, not them. Like, it's definitely you, not me thing. Because it's, I think we need to kind of, and this is going to happen more and more as games as a medium moves forward. But we're going to have to start thinking about, like, that audience that remembers us from 15 years ago. They want something, but what about, like, there's probably a ton of new Xbox players that, sure, that Sea of Thieves looks super amazing to and yeah, don't
and
have
no
that
connection.
Same.
Yeah.
That Battletoads would mean nothing to.
Yep.
You know? And so I feel like a lot of people in the internet are going to be like, where's Battletoads? And it's like, well, it's in the collection, but where's the new Battletoads? It's like, well, this doesn't make sense, really, you know?
Sure. That was the other thing was I was surprised. I mean, you can never really tell the audio levels on these streams in terms of the crowd reaction and stuff like that, but I thought the Rare Collection was received underwhelmingly. I thought that was a pretty big deal. And Rare has such a deep, you know, deep history back to the NES. So I thought it was kind of exciting to be able to get those games, the huge gamer score, mm-hmm, and all those kinds of things. I thought that was a nice little, like we were saying, an ode to throw back to the Rare we remember as Rare kind of reinvents itself.
I mean, for me, like seeing that, I was instantly like, oh man, here's our Let's Plays for like a month.
Oh gosh,
like that's gonna be awesome when that game comes out on August 4th. There's a release date. We'll be able to just get in, just fucking go to town.
Yeah, I'll definitely
those.
Play
and
definitely
all the ID that. Games too, man. Oh. We are going to play the hell out of those.
Right, there's going to be a whole bunch of them. I think this is going to be a huge E3 in general for some independent games and for independent games with publishers, Adrift being my number one most, like, that's the game that I am most excited for, period. And it's a small team with 505. Like, I probably have never said anything like that before. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's just an indie game with, you know, a really awesome publisher. That's, I don't know, that all sounds super weird to me, but I'm super excited about that. And on that note, I now need to duck out and head to a meeting. Thanks a lot for having me.
Go get
guys.
A new game published. Go do things.
Good hugs. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to go meet and talk about video games with other video game people, surprisingly, at E3.
I'm going to get up and hug you.
Bye, fans. You guys are great,
goodbye.
By the way. Thanks.
You really are. You really are.
Cheers, dudes.
Alfredo, all right, bye, B1.
Bringing him back in.
I want to hear what he has to say about this Halo business.
Yes.
Because he is the master chimp.
No,
I tweeted out during that demo. I was like, man, if you, at the end of this demo, fight against Master Chief, I'm going to lose my shit. But it looks good. Like, it looks really good. I think the thing I like most about it is that a lot of, like, the Halo games you play, it's like you against a horde of enemies. But now, like, that you have a squad of Spartans with you. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like more of a, like, you know, like a small-scale battle just consistently going on.
Yeah. And it's cool, you know, like, as you all know, I'm a huge fan of Red versus Blue, and that has always been that. It's like kind of the squad thing, especially in recent seasons, it got a little more action-oriented. And this reminded me of Red versus Blue, but the game, which is kind of weird if you think about it. But it's like,
kind of backwards.
It's fun because you're right. Like, you're not just one dude running around. Like, being able to tell people, it's kind of a little like ODST.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is...
That's dangerous territory. Be careful.
Tim. Yeah. Yeah. But it's the more modernized ODST. It's like the Halo 4 ODST as opposed to Halo 3 ODST.
Well, they have Buck from ODST, but now he's a Spartan.
Yeah. Hey. Spartan up.
So that's interesting.
Spartan up.
Yeah. It's the only way to go. But yeah, that looked cool. And the Warzone mode, it was a little unclear what
exactly
it is.
I was a little confused on that.
It sounds like 12 on 12 and like
it looked
big
like
maps.
Like big team battle, but then there's like the campaign enemies and stuff like that. It was really
So and there's like fight against everything. You could do everything.
Yeah.
Everything. It's like, okay, do we get to play as the everythings? Or is it just like, you know, and we'll see. I doubt it. But it'd be interesting. The fact that they marketed it that way was weird.
The marketing for just Halo Guardians in general has been really, really good. Because like back during E3, I didn't really care about it too much. I was like, I'm kind of getting Halo fatigued. But now they have like this whole like the whole Hunt the Truth campaign. Like Spartans versus Spartans, you have Locke versus Master Chief, I think is very intriguing. They have like a lot of just like tiny little things here and there. Like there's like audio episodes that they're putting out that kind of like is from the perspective of like a news reporter trying to find out, like, you know, dig deep into like the story of like what is going on, what is the truth. And so it's kind of refreshing.
Has that honestly come around for you now? Now you care about that stuff?
Yeah, now I'm all about it. I'm really
interesting. Interesting.
No beta,
interesting
though.
Young man.
You're wrong.
No, I know. They put the fucking bait on Gears.
We should probably talk about that, right? The predictions.
Yeah.
Our predictions from the Gamescast.
Hey, Kev. So you want to bring up our predictions from the Gamescast? Go to kindoffunny.com/forums, then go to the general gaming discussion, and it's one of the stickied ones up there. You'll need to go to the last page.
So as you guys know, on Gamescast last week, we carried over our old Podcast Beyond tradition over to the Kind of Funny Gamescast, in which we would make bold and outrageous predictions for E3.
Yep.
We usually did five each on Podcast Beyond, obviously for PlayStation specifically.
Right.
So we expanded that to 20 predictions, five for Microsoft, five for Nintendo, five for Microsoft, and then five for third parties each.
Mm.
And Greg, I'm pleased to report, even though you're walking away and going away. Right here, Greg, you're going away. Greg, where are you, Greg?
Showing Kevin how to do
it. I was right about one, and I was wrong about another.
What were your...
Halo got a release date.
Halo, yeah, and it already had one.
Yes, it already did, but I was right that they said it again.
Sure.
Good point. Crash Bandicoot did not come out.
No, not a surprise. You were the only one that thought that was going to happen.
I was like, where's he going to come? Where? This is it. And it never happened. And that's Greg's
Minecraft
stomach.
It's on the screen. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that in a bit.
But let's get through these predictions.
So Greg's predictions, Greg
only scroll down to Microsoft,
Greg only got 0.5 points here.
Ooh, that was rough. Now, for the record, you're going to go through them, I guess.
Let's go through them.
Everybody hold hands. Felicia Day holding hands. This is not a drill. There we go.
Halo 5 prediction was Greg's number one prediction. Beta starts
Why didn't
that
I say
day.
Gears?
All right, that's enough for holding hands.
Okay.
0 points. Well, you were close. I mean, you're almost there.
Yeah.
And by close, I mean you were pretty off.
Some people wanted to give me a half point for that. No fucking way. That's stupid.
No, definitely not. I'm sorry.
And not that you're stupid. Don't worry.
Greg's second prediction was that Battletoads would be the one more thing teaser for a new Battletoads game. He was wrong about that.
People were trying to give me credit for the Rare Collection too. No, not at all.
Mm-mm. All right, now you're playing like Colin Plus games here. Now these are games that I wouldn't even recommend.
You look at them. They're playing Colin Plus games. I'm the one.
I'm sorry.
I'm
you're
squashing
playing,
it.
You're playing. Greg's doing the right thing. I'm so. I apologize, Greg.
Thank you. I know that you're used to just yelling at me and berating me for everything.
That's true. That's a good point. Prediction number three was that Blue Streak, which is Cliffy B's PC exclusive, would also become an Xbox.
That was my crazy one.
No points for that. Now, you got a half point here. Dark Souls 3. Dark Souls 3 was shown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It said exclusive content revealed for Xbox One. That wasn't, so 0.5. You just stuck with Dark Souls 3 shown. That was it.
I know. I got cocky.
That's the danger.
You got gutsy, though. I liked that.
Yeah, I like that, too. That's the danger of overpredicting, but I overpredict in order to then get many granular points. Yeah. Nick knows what I'm talking about. Number five. Which was your Undead Labs prediction. You said Undead Labs would have a presence, show a teaser, a trailer for their new game. It's about zombies and focused on multiplayer. None of that was at the show.
One day.
I think you jumped the gun on that. I think this would be a safe bet for maybe next year, but they just released the game.
Everybody remember, Sean Pitts, remind me to make this prediction next year. I got one already.
And then on my predictions, my first prediction was that Minecraft would have a presence there. So this is four parts, Greg.
Yeah, I know.
Minecraft spends
it's a traditional Colin.
Microsoft spends significant time talking about Microsoft. I got that. So that's 0.25 points. A big announcement for Minecraft update, whatever. I got that. 0.25. Tease before the conference. They didn't talk about it before the conference. And then talk about how they would support Minecraft going forward. They did. So that's 0.75 points.
Do we want to talk about
a little bit of that
right here for a second? Because that Minecraft demonstration was batshit crazy.
Mind blowing. Yeah.
It's one of those things where this is the good type of here's something new. And we're going to show you this weird demo that's unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yeah.
That isn't the, I'm going to do Wonder Book. Or we're going to do Kinect. This was actually one where all of us are like, oh, God, VR. And then we're like, oh, this
is
dope.
Well, yeah, he got up, right? And he had, like, the HoloLens on his face. Right. And he was just kind of standing there.
Well,
and
it was like when they were doing the stuff on the wall.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't understand
what you're doing. This sounds stupid.
And then when they were like, now put it on the table.
And it went Minority Report.
You're like, fuck, shit. All right. And, like, I don't want to play Minecraft. I like Minecraft. I play Minecraft. I don't want to play Minecraft that way. But the opportunity now for developers to do whatever the hell they want with games and use it that way, that's insanely cool.
To make it looked like it worked well, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's making a giant dick on the table.
Oh, are you kidding me? Everyone's going to make a giant dick on the table.
Giant dicks on the table.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't stop it.
I remember during that Minecraft thing, I turned to Greg and I was like, how does this work?
Yeah.
I don't know why I was
asking
Greg.
How is this even working? Yeah, because it's like they weren't doing when you think about it with the augmented reality shit from Sony, right, on Vita, right? You needed to have those dumb cards. Whereas this, the guy's just like, I'm going to look at the fucking table, and the table is Minecraft. And it's like, what? What are you, like, I'm sure there will still need to be something there to make that kind of crap happen, but
we'll see.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
The second prediction was a Windows 10 prediction. Talk about Windows 10 functionality with Xbox One. They talked about it endlessly.
Yes.
So that was 1 point.
It was everywhere.
And then I missed the next three. As we said before the show, my third prediction was Quantum Break's release date would be announced. And Quantum Break wasn't at the show at all, which they said before the show. It's going to be at Gamescom in August in Germany. Prediction four was Lionhead Studios would show up and they would show their new game, which would not be Fable. They did not show up and they did not show a new game. And then my fifth prediction was Twisted Pixel would show up and show a new game and it would also be on PC, and they didn't do any of that as well. So 1.75 points to 0.5 points. And Kevin, if you scroll up to the top, just up a little bit if you're listening. Your mouse is moving, so I think you are.
He's not
getting there.
Keep going. Just to the top where it says the score. So the score right now is 3.92. I don't know where I got 0.2. I got to look at it. Where did I get that?
0.02.
What?
No,
these 3.3.
So this comes from my Doom prediction, in which I got 2/3 of it right.
No.
Which put an even number in the mix. Sorry about that,
You're
Greg.
Such a my son of a lord.
So 3.92 to 2, and we still have Sony.
Yep.
Nintendo, and then a bunch of outstanding third-party ones. So I think we have actually. Well, you got a Nintendo one already, right?
Did I?
And I got a Sony one right already.
Oh, are they added? Is that am I already on there?
So that leaves 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So there's 24 points still on the table.
Okay. Real quick, the chat was asking what's next for us. At 12:30, our pre-show for EA starts. Now, of course, we're just streaming all day. We're not stopping. If you're just joining us, we're twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, kindoffunny.com. Every day we come to you with nerdy stuff. And, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, this means nothing to you. But if you're a Twitch person right now, thanks for watching along with us. We are live all day today, every press conference, pre- and post-shows, crazy stuff happening. But Tim, what are we recording right now?
This is the Kinda Funny Games cast for the first ever, last ever, E3 2015 post-show of the Microsoft press conference. I hope you liked it because I'm about to stop this show right now so I can export the show and get it live for all you people that aren't watching live.
But if you are watching live, we're going to keep talking about everything right here.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to pee.
I got to pee, too. So yeah, I think why don't you go first?
Okay.
I would like to go eat as well, so what are we going to do about that?
We're just going to fucking rotate. Look at Nick Scarpino. Nick Scarpino's anxious to get on here and talk about the climbing community and how Lara fits into that. I guarantee it.
Yes.
He's chomping at the bit. And not that champing at the bit. We've changed
champing,
that.
Champing.
I'll be right back.
All right.
All right, cool. On.